Good evening. Good to see everyone here again tonight. You're going to have two speakers, Philip Smith and Grant Purvis, that will be giving you a report on Exposure Youth Camp. We were able to spend Exposure Youth Camp, able to travel up there in Huntsville, Alabama from December 27th through the 30th. We took about 38 to 40 people with us, anywhere from teenagers all the way to adults, and I had a great time there. The theme this year was Anchored by Hope, and every lesson we had centered upon hope. What was a hope to you, and how you kept your hope and your faith? Throughout the week, we had numerous responses and numerous baptisms as well at the youth rally, but they did a really excellent, very good job at the rally this year. I want to tell you, there was over 1,200 people this year, and it grows bigger and bigger each year as the years go by. I wanted to tell you, if you are interested, and any of your teenagers are interested in going to this event, I'm going to leave a pamphlet up here on the Lord's table right after services. Be sure to look through that and see some of the great classes they took. They were able to partake in team-building activities that centered upon Christ, also spiritual challenge sessions. Some of the speakers, you might know them very well, were Matt Vega, Kyle Butt was there, several different people that had excellent backgrounds in biblical knowledge. And I promise you, it was a great rally, and I'm going to let them take over at this time and tell you more about it.
Good evening. I'm always thankful to be able to speak to y'all on Sunday night whenever I get a chance to. And like Will said, he asked us, me and Grant, to present to y'all what we did at Exposure this year and how it went. And like he said, the theme of Exposure was Anchored by Hope. And tonight, Grant will cover more of the spiritual and biblical ways of being anchored by hope. And I'm just going to cover more of the classes we got to go to. Some of those classes that we got to go to was how we have a hope of a resurrection of Jesus Christ, how we have the hope of heaven, how we can defend our hope, and the biblical hope versus secular hope. Some other classes that also dealt with hope were guys' classes and girls' classes, and a Hot Topics class dealing with what Christians in this world deal with. So my goal tonight is to talk about some of the classes that we got to go to. And at Exposure, how it's broken down is you get there. We got there Monday afternoon, and we're there all Tuesday and Wednesday. Tuesday and Wednesday, each of those 2 days, we have things called spiritual challenge sessions, and there's only two of those each day. And we get to choose a total of four classes during all of Exposure to go to. So one of the classes I went to was Kyle Butt, who spoke on the hope of the resurrection. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, it says, "And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, and you are still in your sins." This obviously shows how important the resurrection is to Christians today, and it's also one of the reasons that the resurrection is also under attack by so many people that don't believe in Christ. I do recall that during his lesson, he spoke about the guards that guarded the tomb of Jesus. He told about how, you know, at this time of the world, they were the most elite soldiers at the time. They were almost like the United States military, if you could imagine. He said that if anything happened to the body of Jesus, these soldiers would be executed by their superior. So the only way they could get the body of Jesus or anyone was if they were all killed and someone opened the tomb and got his body, or if God opens the tomb, or like we read in Matthew chapter 27, an angel comes and opens the tomb. But the way he told us and described this to us was in Acts chapter 16, Paul and Silas were in jail and an earthquake happened that allowed all the their jail cells to open up. And we read about how the jailkeeper about threw himself on a sword and killed himself because he knew that whoever was in charge of him would kill him for letting all the prisoners go. And Paul, of course, tells him, "Don't kill yourself because we're all here." That's how he explained to us that these Roman soldiers would have kill themselves, or not kill themselves, would have been killed by their superior if anything happened to Jesus. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 20, it says, "But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead." And basically, as Christians today, if Christ has not risen from the dead, we have no hope. We have no hope of heaven and no hope of eternal life. Another class I went to was taught by Dale Jenkins, who taught the Hot Topics class. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him." In this class, we discussed how, as Christians, we should live with hope in a world with little hope. The only thing the world can hope in is maybe today, because that's all they know. As Christians, we have the hope of eternal life in heaven. The ways that the world conforms to us and makes us lose focus is but through our phones, computers, TVs, iPods. They all distract us. They all bring us down eventually if we aren't careful in how we use them. Also, our friends, he said, were one of the biggest reasons people lose the faith and stop becoming Christians, because they choose the wrong friends that make them lose their faith and make wrong decisions. The other class I went to was the guys class. It was taught by Adam Richardson. He asked at the beginning of the class each of us to raise our hands, or some of people, and he called on them to ask them, what does the world think about men today? What are descriptions of men? People raise their hand, oh, big muscles. You know, they don't cry at all. They don't do certain things. They only do other things. And he told us that in this life, we should strive to be godly men rather than worldly men like this. He says, sure, some of that is okay. Some of that is okay to do that. But he says, some of that is pointless unless you live like Jesus did and become humble, tenderhearted, and all the other spiritual aspects. We discussed Paul and how he was probably a manly man persecuting the church. He thought he was doing the business of God, but eventually he figured out he was doing wrong. And my mom can probably tell you this, as a guy and stuff, I guess I have a hard time, you know, admitting when we do wrong. And in the world, they want us to not admit when we do wrong and keep going on with what we are doing, rather than repent and turn away from it. He also said we should be more like Jesus. Jesus was a carpenter, and also he's probably a very strong man, but he also was the most humble, caring, and tenderhearted person this world has ever known. Everything that the world views as a soft man was what Jesus was. We should all strive to be like Jesus, no matter what the world says for us to do. Also, set apart from the classes, we had teams. About 1 to 3 people from each youth group was taken, and they were all split into about 30 different teams. And each team had between, I'd say, 10 to 20 people in it, just varying the sizes of them. And I'm going to tell a story about our team leader's name, who's Neil. It's not Neil Scott from Faulkner, but he graduated from Freed Hardeman. His wife was in our small group helping him out, or should I say team groups helping him out. And he told us a story about his wife a year and a half ago, about when she was his fiance. He said that she had a stroke and that she lost all of her locomotive skills. She had to relearn how to walk, how to talk, how to eat, how to move her arms, how to do certain things. He said that during that time, it was easy for him to lose hope. It would have been easy for him to lose hope in God and fall away from the faith. And he said many times that his fiance tried to give him the ring back, thinking that she wasn't good enough for him. But I tell you that just to say that he is a good example of how to keep the hope, how to keep the faith and stay strong. And she's doing fine because she was in our small group, and she was she seemed very well. But that's what I challenge you with tonight, is to stay strong and keep the faith and don't lose the hope. Thank you.
I would like to start off by saying that I always enjoy the opportunity I have to come and speak for y'all. So I'd like to thank the elders and thank Will for letting me speak tonight in front of y'all. And as Philip mentioned, tonight I'm going to take all of the classes and keynotes we had at Exposure. and sum all of them up with stuff that I got out of exposure. But the theme this past year, as Philip Will stated, was anchored by hope. And tonight when I talk about hope, I'm going to use three different points, the first of which being, what is this hope, and what can we hope for as Christians, and what can we not hope for? Well, the first thing we see in James 4, chapter 13, is that as a Christian or as any person, we cannot hope for tomorrow, because we're never promised tomorrow. It says, "Ye that boast about tomorrow, saying, I'll go to such and such a city, buying such and such a thing, do not, because you are not promised a tomorrow." But if we can't hope for tomorrow, then what can we hope for? Well, to whom God willed to make what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's Colossians 1:27. But you see at the end the hope of glory. But what is the glory that Paul's talking about here? Well, I believe through study of this verse that the hope of this glory is the hope of heaven. And that is one of the main things today as a Christian that we have to look forward to, that we have to strive for in our day-to-day lives. But to obtain this hope, it should be the number one priority for Christians. Proverbs 23:18 restates this idea where it says, "Surely there is a future, and your hope will not be cut off." It says, surely there is a future. There's no maybe to it. There is a future that if you live your life on earth here and you please God with it and you use all your talents for God, then you will have a hope of heaven and a hope to one day see your Creator. But this is mentioned over and over again in the Bible. Since it's mentioned somewhat, it must be important. But how do we obtain this hope? If it's that important, then there must be a way that God has set before us to obtain this hope. Well, the first, of course, obvious answer is to hear the Word of God, believe the Word of God, repent of your sins, confess that Jesus is the Son of God, and be baptized and live a faithful life. But to sum all that up, the main component, as you read in Titus 12 through 13, which reads, "Instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desires and to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and appearing of the glory of our great God, Savior, and Jesus Christ." To sum it all up, you just live a life that's going to please God. You use everything that He's given you, and you give it back to Him. You honor God with everything you do. And the only way you can get this hope is through Christ. And if this hope is not yours tonight, then you cannot be a saved Christian. But if you are a Christian, what do we do with this hope? Well, in 1 Peter 3:15, it says, "To sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks for the reason of the hope that is within you, but do it with gentleness and reverence." This verse tells us that we are to defend this hope against the non-believers, but we're supposed to do it gently. We're supposed to do it in a manner to where that these people are going to want to come, learn more about this religion, learn more about God, learn about this hope we have. But in conclusion, I want to read Romans 8:24-25, which says, "For in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes what he already sees? But if we have hope for what we do not see, with perseverance we wait eagerly for it." This verse states that for in hope we have been saved. So this hope of heaven that we have as saved Christians is the base of all Christianity. If you don't have this hope, then you're missing a big part of your life with Christ, and you don't have a life with Christ without this hope. And I think that because of this, it's a good thing that we talked about at Exposure 2010, because it made a lot of people realize that Maybe I'm missing this hope because I haven't been baptized. Maybe I'm missing this hope because I've done some things in my life that's made me fall away from God, and I've lost this hope of heaven. But they obtained this hope of heaven again, or reinstated this hope during those few days. And tonight, if you need to get hold of that hope again, and if we can help you in any way, then I encourage you to come now as we stand and